Today we are filling a promise that Oklahomans elected us to do, and that's to deliver transparency and results across state government.
Governor Kevin Stitt has been in office for nearly 2 months, and he's accomplished some of his goals and campaign promises to change how Oklahoma's government runs. What is next on his agenda? This is Oklahoman Unfolded, and today is Friday, March 15th. I'm Dave Morris. This week, the governor signed several bills, including the Agency Accountability Bill, and Thursday, he signed the Unity Bill, which creates a framework for medical marijuana and establishes the Oklahoma Medical Marijuana Authority. Governor Stitt was in our podcast studio Thursday and spoke about several measures and his first few months in office. Here's a portion of that interview.
Kind of a big week for your administration. Yesterday, on Wednesday, you signed into law the agency restructuring bills that give you more, the ability to hire the directors, kind of restructured the boards. And this was something you talked a lot about on the campaign trail, this kind of need for the governor to have this, have more control and ability to shape how the state agencies were working. And how does this change the trajectory of your administration? How important was yesterday's actions to get done what you plan to get done as governor?
Well, like you said, we talked about this on the campaign trail from the very beginning, and I think it makes sense to most Oklahomans. It certainly makes sense to me, coming from the business world, that if we're going to deliver results, if you're going to hold the governor accountable to deliver results and make sure that we run effective and efficient government, then we've got to be able to hire the right people, hold them accountable, deliver results, maybe change directions when we need to. And this just gives us that ability to do that. And so if everything was working perfectly and we were in the top 10 already, I would say things were working fine. But we all know as Oklahomans that we can do a lot better. That was what I campaigned on. That's why Oklahomans selected me and elected me as governor. And I'm so excited that the House, the Senate agreed with me, gave us that ability. And so it's gonna move the needle for generations to come. This is going to change the way that we run state government for the next 50 years.
Now, you talked a lot about this on the campaign trail, but you've also spent some time meeting with other governors and going to conferences and traveling across the country. Now, this is something you see. This is a process that's common in most other states.
Absolutely. I mean, just for your listeners out there and for all of Oklahomans, you know, sometimes when we're doing our daily job, we kind of forget and we hear all these terms. But basically, you know, the executive branch is supposed to be running, Department of Transportation, and we're supposed to be running the healthcare system. Actually, all the other states, all 49 other states, give the governor the authority to oversee how Medicaid dollars are spent. And our state did not give the governor that authority. It was basically this unelected board that was there for 7-9 years in some cases, and they selected this agency. Head. And so what happens is you can't get any kind of alignment. And when the legislature would ask for things, sometimes they would get spun in a circle. And you had these different agencies that were kind of building their own little kingdoms and didn't want anything to change. And when you try to change it, the agencies could hire lobbyists. So I put a stop to that. They could kind of spin everybody in a circle. And I think this is going to be, it's just the way that other states structure it. It makes sense from a business perspective to deliver results. And I think Oklahomans agree with me that this is the right way to manage and run state government effectively.
And on the flip side, though, that means, you know, the political term, the buck stops with you now.
That's right. I told my team, I was like, now that we got this, we've got to go show Oklahomans what this means and get these agencies turned around and really focus on getting the dollars on target into our health systems. But this is just it's a huge win. It's going to help us not only the rest of this year, but next year and the year after and the year after, and I'm so excited about it.
And a big achievement for you in just a couple months into office. It seems like it's been longer, but I want to ask you, you've an observation that I've had, whether it's at a press conference or just, you know, seeing you visit different agencies, is you seem to still enjoy the job. And there seems to be this, and I don't mean any disrespect with this, just kind of still kind of a sense of aw shucks and wonder a little bit about it. Is that accurate? And is that how you feel about this job?
Absolutely. Listen, I don't take myself too seriously. I tell the coworkers and the employees that whether it's the Department of Education or DHS when I toured their agency, hey, I'm just one of your coworkers. I'm the guy, I happen to be the governor, but I want to roll up my sleeves and I want you to know that I'm in this with you, and we're going to move the needle together. And it's my job to cast the vision, make sure we're all aligned with where we're headed. And it's amazing how people want to come to work with me, and they want to get aligned with the vision for the state. But yeah, I mean, I do things differently. I don't take myself too seriously. I don't, you know, sit up in a ivory tower and say I'm the governor or anything like that. I'm a normal Oklahoma son that grew up in Norman, and heck yeah, I'm having fun. I mean, I tell people who gets to be the governor of their home state where they grew up, and I think about my granddad who had an eighth grade education, and man, I was like, man, I wish my granddad could see me today, and he'd be so proud that his grandson was the governor of the state that he grew up in. And so, yeah, I don't take it lightly, and I want to do the best job I can for all of Oklahoma and make Oklahoma proud of the state that we live in, the great state that we are. And so I want to promote that every chance I get.
So you talk about, you know, what your family would think. I mean, you still run into people that you grew up with, and is that an interesting moment now that you're the governor? You run into anybody that ever picked on you in school? Now you have a chance to...
you know, I don't know if I ran into anybody that picked on me, but yeah, you know, it's just like your high school friends when they call you and just, you know, they just can't believe you're the governor. It'd be like, I'm sure if you're in the NFL or the NBA and some of our Thunder players, when they go back to their high school friends and the people that knew them back in high school, yeah, it's just neat to see somebody, the guy that they grew up with and we used to play in the Little League football together, now being governor or being the NFL or the NBA. It's cool seeing people succeed, and so our friends, we think it's pretty neat, but it just shows you, and this is what I tell my children and I tell every school kids that I talk to, you can do anything you set your mind to. I ask every kid I talk to, who are you going to be the next governor? I'm just trying to plant that seed and let them know to dream big, because you can do it. You know, you guys know my story in business, and I truly believe when you set a vision and a goal and then you go execute and you block and tackle every day, that's what I tell my cabinet. I say, we are going to move Oklahoma to top 10.
So has the job changed you at all? And if so, how? I mean, how has it changed you?
I don't think so at all. I'm still the same person. And like you said, I still go around and high five all my team members and coworkers and employees. And it's the same thing I did in the private sector. So I don't think it's changed me a bit. In the private sector, I was the CEO of a 1,200-person company, and so I loved hanging out with my employees then and my team members and just kind of leading the way. I believe that the leader needs to charge the hill in front of them, and I tell people I'll never ask them to do anything that I'm not willing to do. I'm always going to be out in front leading and outworking everybody and showing the way. I don't tell you what to do. I really want to lead and walk it out.
More of that interview on the Political State Podcast, hosted every week by Ben Felder. You can download wherever you get your podcasts, including newsok.com. In Friday's edition of The Oklahoman, Harding Fine Arts Academy is interested in buying the building currently housing the school. Oklahoma City Public Schools does not plan to renew the lease on the structure and has offered to move the academy to Putnam Heights Elementary, which is closing. District Superintendent Sean McDaniel says the academy's current home is unsuitable for students. The move is part of the district's Pathway to Greatness, which is reorganizing and consolidating several schools and repurposing several buildings. The lease ends on June 30th.
We gotta do better. You know, we put ourselves in a situation where we missed too many opportunities. You know, we missed too many easy layups and stuff like that. So, and it caught up to us.
A first-round exit in the Big 12 tournament has Oklahoma anxiously awaiting for Sunday when the NCAA bracket is announced. The Sooners are one of eight bubble teams hoping to land a spot in the tournament. Oklahoma's loss to West Virginia and Kansas City was its worst loss of the season based on the team sheet the selection committee will review. Games are weighed by quadrants, 1 through 4, with quadrant 1 games being valued most. OU is the only team in the country that didn't play a quadrant 4 game. Or as the Oklahoma's Joe Masato put it, the Sooners didn't schedule a gimme. These stories and more in the Oklahoman and NewsOK.com. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend, everyone.